Welcome, everybody, to Why Should Your Team Win? I'm your host, Katie, and it's still playoffs, you guys. It's the Western Conference Finals. It's versus Vegas and Dallas, and it's the Eastern Conference Finals with Carolina and Florida. It's been a wild ride, and I have a new guest for you guys. I'm really excited to introduce Josh from Columbus. Yay! Josh, can you tell me who your team is and how did it get that way?
Well, it is the Toronto Maple Leafs, and it happened probably, I'm going to say, back during the 2020 season, like when Nick Foligno went from the Columbus Blue Jackets to Toronto Maple Leafs. That's when I really got deep into, like, the team as far as, you know, of course, Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner, and then, like, the playoffs. I was totally pumped about the playoffs that year and kept following afterwards. So kind of been like that since.
Okay, so you weren't born into the misery.
No, I mean... It was a choice. It was definitely a choice.
Yeah, and I was talking to a guy on Instagram. He's like, yeah, I'm making my daughter a Maple Leafs fan. I feel kind of bad about it. Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just joking. But you choose to be a Maple Leafs fan. Who do you have? Do you have a favorite player, past or present? Because it's such an old organization.
Well, I mean, as far as I would say probably this is a really good question, because you would think Austin Matthews, but I guess more or less Austin Matthews, which is kind of cut and dry stereotypical, but I feel like I even like Wayne Simmonds. Like when they added him, mm-hmm. I was totally pumped, because, you know, more grit, more sandpaper, makes the games more exciting. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't love your bottom six players who will kind of just beat someone up just to defend their other teammates? So I don't know.
Yeah, you need a guy like Simmonds to, you know, set things right in a game. But yeah, Matthews, that's not a bad pick. I mean, a generational scorer. He had the wrist injury, or did he have a wrist surgery over the summer? And he was in, I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's had a wrist injury most of the season.
Yeah, because the year before he potted 60 goals, and it was like a Maple Leafs record, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that was... Yeah, so it was really impressive. He had this amazing season. And then this year, he had that wrist injury. And so his numbers were low, but he was still productive, obviously. I think he changed his game a little bit because of the wrist injury. And because of that, I think Marner had a better season.
Marner definitely took over that production. That I feel like Keith and Matthews adjusted his playing style, like you said, being more of a two-way forward this season rather than just a scoring kind of forward. So,
yeah, because I know a lot of people are like, he sucks this year. And I was like, no, I think it's really smart of him to change his game, you know, and especially if that wrist is, you know, he had surgery, he's trying to, like, you know, be gentle with it, so to speak. But mm-hmm. It is important to change your game up. I think he's been in the league, what, 5 years, 6 years now?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't stay, you have to improve your every area of your game, I guess.
Yeah, and like, obviously he never had the strong defensive game, But this year he changed it up. Even with the strong defensive game, put up 40 goals. So, I mean,
yeah, not too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's not Patrice Bergeron style kind of two-way player, but, you know, I'm impressed.
Well, yeah, maybe in a couple years.
Maybe, but we'll see for now.
Yeah. So let me ask about a couple other players. You mentioned Marner. You know, there's a lot of rumors about the core four and all the drama that's happened in the past days, and we'll get into more playoffs, but of the core four, who do you want to stay? Obviously Matthews is staying. John Tavares has a no move clause. So it's kind of the rumors have been Marner or Nylander.
Honestly, well, actually, I Willie's probably my second favorite on the team, so I don't want to see Willie go, but, like, I feel like of the core four, I think you need to explore what you can get for Riley.
Ah.
Because, like, I feel like he's great, but I think he might benefit from a change of scenery. He's been very inconsistent, at least in my opinion. And if they're not going to move Riley, I feel like maybe Tavares, even though he has a no movement clause, which I know he's not a bad player by any stretch of the means, but he's obviously aging, which, you know, is seen as a bad thing in the NHL. But, you know, there's still David Krejci, who's done really well this season despite everything. So
yeah,
it's hard telling, like, who you want to go, because, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's rumors about William Nylander going to Denver, which is my team. So I'm like, yeah, okay, we'll take him. We'll take Mitch Marner, too. But it's a talented team, and it's, you know, Morgan Riley, I think he's been a lifelong Leafs fan. Not a fan, but a lifelong member of the club. Like, he hasn't played for other teams, so that'd be interesting to see him go. Let me see some other players I want to talk about. So we mentioned John Tavares. You know, last year in the playoffs, remember when he got that nasty hit in the head? Was that last year's playoffs? I think was kind of worrisome, but yeah, go ahead.
Was that the bubble? Because I'm thinking it was the bubble.
I feel like it happened 2 years in a row where he got knocked, like, injury put him out of the playoffs or something. But I remember that nasty head injury. It was either last year or the year before. It could have been bubble. But it was just like, oh, God, is he going to be okay? And, you know, that's why it was really cool to see him get that winner in game six to move you guys forward.
Yeah, he's been a clutch player. Like, even though, like, a lot of fans on Twitter like to talk crap about him, he's not inconsistent, but he's not really, like, I don't know how to describe him. He's kind of like an unsung player on the Leafs because, you know, he's overshadowed by Marner, Nylander, and Matthews.
Well, yeah, because when he got traded, or when he left the Islanders, I remember all Islanders fans were pissed. But he is a Toronto native, so he was like, I just want to go home and play for my hometown team. You know, whatever. I mean, I think he was with the Islanders for like 10 years. Something like that. You know, so I feel like he did his time there. You don't want to lose, sure, like, your best player. I get that. But I was surprised when they chose him as captain, but also not. Because I guess he was already been a captain. I don't know.
Was he captain on the Islanders?
I feel like he was. I don't know.
Check. I feel like he's just one of those guys that people like to hate on, but
yeah,
he's he's easily, like, if he went to another team, he'd show everyone else up, especially if he went to a team like Columbus, for example.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, pretty much a first-line center there because everyone in Columbus is all three or four line. I can't talk. Third or fourth-line centers, so.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping you guys would get Bedard, but. Guess not.
No. I feel like, I don't know. If the Columbus Blue Jackets would have gotten Bedard, it would have just reset the entire league, and I guess Bettman didn't want that. I don't know.
And yeah. Plus,
there's more money in Chicago, probably. So.
Yeah, that whole thing was shady. It was rigged, man. Those ping pong balls were rigged. So do you have a memorable game?
Well, I would definitely say the 2021-2022 season where they were split up into divisions. I don't have a – well, no, I'm thinking back. Last season – just trying to think. Like – the entire series against Tampa Bay Lightning last season, I watched every game, and I feel like those were all memorable games for me because, like, they actually – I felt like they proved everyone wrong that they couldn't hold it together in the postseason, and they did despite losing, you know, game seven. So
– yeah, you know, people always, like, you know – Toronto always has a great regular season and then the playoffs. You know, I think the criticism this year was none of the big superstars show up. But it's also you guys play the best teams first. You know, like, that sucks playing Tampa first every year. I mean, they're back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. They went to the finals 2 years in a row. You know, so I feel like Toronto media especially, they're known for being the most critical of their players and everything. That's what I always feel like. Well, it's not like that. They're bad. They're also just playing the hardest team in the league first every time. Right. I don't know. Do you feel like that kind of?
I feel like the Toronto media is definitely overcritical. And knowing a few Maple Leafs fans that I work with in my second job, my part-time job where I write about the NHL, like,
yeah,
I get a lot of feedback from them about different players and different frames of thought. And I feel like, yeah, for sure. The Toronto media, other than Montreal, definitely has to be one of the toughest ones that, you know, have to deal with. Because I know I wouldn't want that pressure as a player.
Yeah, because I remember when Phil Kessel played for Toronto. Because I used to follow Phil Kessel. He played for the Gophers. And then I kind of just followed his career. And then when I think he was in Boston and then he got traded to Toronto, they, you know, hailed him as, like, you know, their superstar. And then it was kind of too much pressure because he just didn't have the team. Mm-hmm. And they put all the blame on him all the time. And he's not really like a media personality. So he would be like snippy with the media and the media. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, they ate it up, chewed him up, spit him out, you know, and he won two cups with Pittsburgh.
Yeah. That's terrible. It sounds like another cautionary tale, but of course they still keep at it even now.
Yeah. So like, you're kind of a new Maple Leafs fan, but who's like a rival for you, or like a team you love to beat, or a team you hate to lose against?
Definitely, I mean, that's a really good question.
Because I look at, like, the long history of the Maple Leafs, and it's like the Red Wings, because there was only six teams back then, you know, or like Montreal, the Rangers, I hated, but now I feel like, is it Tampa or is it Boston?
Well,
you know.
I definitely feel like it's Tampa more than anything, and that dates back to even my prior to the Maple Leafs days. So, like,
for sure, yeah. No, I was just looking at, you know, I think Maple Leafs fans still get shit on for when they were up 3-1 and then they lost to Boston in historical fashion. You know, I mean, they're still making jokes about that. And like, they joke about it so often, you think it happened yesterday, but that was like 10 years ago now, I feel like. No, 5 years? I don't know. Did it happen twice?
I think it was 5 years ago, or was it six? Because I think that was, what, 2017, 2018?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. I know that year I probably wasn't paying attention to the playoffs because, like, I was kind of, like, in and out of the NHL during that time period. But, like, I didn't get seriously engaged until, like, probably the 2018-2019 season. So,
mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this, you know, they haven't had success since 1967. Ouch. I mean,
the pain.
Yeah, the pain. But yeah, let's talk about the playoff run you just had. So, mm-hmm. Versus Tampa, you guys did it in six games. Do you want to tell me about that series a little bit?
Well, I feel like the team that was in the postseason wasn't the team that was there during the regular season, because, like, in the first few games, like, the bottom six, they were present, but I felt like they weren't the same kind of bottom six they were during the regular season, which I kind of liken them to, like, maybe a buzzsaw or a tank, because they wouldn't hesitate or run through the other team. Mm-hmm. And by, like, the end of the series, like, of course they won, but they weren't as prominent on ice as they should have been, despite the fact that they were pretty much the ones producing. They weren't the ones throwing the body like they should have been, and they weren't the ones, of course, they weren't, come to think of it, they did all they could as far as that goes, but, you know, they're only the bottom six. They're not the skilled players, so.
And yeah. No, go ahead.
And I feel like, despite the fact that I like Matthews and I like, you know, Marner and everything like that, they definitely kind of left a little to be desired.
Yeah, that was a tough series. You guys won 3 in overtime. You know, so that's got to be like, just get it done. But yeah, I think that was the big criticism, is nobody showed up. You know, and, you know, that's harsh to say. But it's true, when you don't got the depth and, you know, only like Nylander is scoring, you know, and.
Yeah, that's true.
So then you guys get to the second round, and it's Florida, and Florida has Bobrovsky, and they goalied Boston out of the first round, which was everyone's bracket busted. Mine did right away, because I was saying it, I'm like, Boston has to win. They had this historical season. Krejci was back. Bergeron's last. I mean, it would have been the perfect story, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's playoff hockey, and Bobrovsky did it once before with the Columbus Blue Jackets versus Tampa. I should have put the pieces together, but I'm not that smart at the time. But so you guys, you know, there was that chant, "We want Florida," you know, and it's like, oh, damn it, you got them. So what went wrong with that series, other than, you know, you guys avoided the sweep, so that's kind of a plus.
I don't know. I feel like after the Tampa Bay series, everyone just kind of checked out. Yeah. And, like, of course, Nylander is always a key player. He always seems to show up, but I don't know. They're just, I watched some of the games where I was just like, they're getting goalied, and then Florida's just rolling like a tank, and
Yeah, they got the magic. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I wasn't sure like how Paul Maurice put it together, because I always thought he was a bad coach with the Jets, but I'm just now realizing that the Jets were bad without him. So I don't know, like I felt like Keith couldn't make the right adjustments at the right times and relied on upon like Justin Hall and Justin Hall too much instead of, you know, better defenders that were available. And yeah, that I feel like he was a net negative on ice quite often. So
well, if Florida wins the cup, will you feel better about the second round loss?
Well, I mean, I always like an underdog story, so I can appreciate the fact that if Florida does win the cup after they're done pretty much trashing the Hurricanes, you know, which I feel like is going to happen. They just seem like unstoppable.
Yeah. You know, I think what's really exciting about this, these final four teams is, you know, they call it like the Sun Belt. You know, we got Dallas, Vegas, Carolina, Florida, you know, these traditionally non-hockey markets. So I think that's really exciting. And three of the four teams have never won a Stanley Cup. So everyone's excited. I really don't care who wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would like to see Brent Burns, like a guy like that who's been in the league for so long. But I mean, Carolina's already down 3-0. Go ahead.
Well, I feel like Carolina was initially the favorite from the get-go, but I don't know. I think Brad Brindamore, he hasn't been able to do something to adjust to the Panthers correctly, and it sucks kind of for Brent Burns because I know he's been there before. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
So then Kyle Dubas. That's been the chatter for the past couple days. The youngest GM ever at 37 years old. Would you say he got fired or he just didn't get a contract he liked?
You know, I feel like it was, I don't know, I feel like it's a mix of both. I think he was trying to negotiate and the way he went about it was wrong. And then, you know, if everything they say is true about MLSE, it's just bad management from top down. And Shanahan and Dubas were kind of like a product of that. And Dubas was a casualty, despite the fact that I feel like he built one of the better teams this season. So,
yeah, and I think that's rough in hockey. I mean, you guys had the best season in 20 years. And then they were like, bye, see ya, to Kyle Dubas. And, you know, I think he was asking for more money. And he said, hey, give me the keys, the driver's seat, the title to the car. Give me everything. And Shanahan wasn't ready for that, I guess. Or, I don't know, he wanted to still be involved. Or they should have just gambled, give him another year. You know, that's kind of how I felt about it. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if what James Myrtle said was true, like they really were meddling from the get-go, and that might have been like the case from 2021, but I don't know if it's confirmed to be true just yet. But I mean, I think it'll be another MLSE loss because they've not only mishandled Dubas, they've mishandled, you know, the Toronto Raptors' Masai Ujiri. So, I mean, at that point, it looks like it's just the culture. So,
and you briefly mentioned Sheldon Keefe. What's his future looking like? Is his head on a roast at the end of the summer? Or,
I mean, I feel like the Sioux connection is probably going to end, especially since you cut off the head of it with Dubas.
Mm.
And I feel like, if I talk to some of my other fans who have a lot more knowledge than me about the operations and goings on. I don't know. I feel like Dubas and Keefe were kind of locked together. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, I know Kyle Dubas, he released a pretty classy statement. You know, I know he was liked by the players. You know, it's kind of probably being so young, you know, helps too. Let me just some random questions here. No, I had a question about your goaltending. It seems like to be a revolving door for you guys the last couple of years. What are your thoughts on that?
That's one of Kyle Dubas's main like failures, I think, because he went from like Freddie Anderson to Peter Mrazek to and Jack Campbell to now this season, Ilya Samsonov and Matt Murray, who was injured a lot of the season. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he put a lot of faith in Matt Murray, who wasn't able to pretty much replicate what he wanted. So it's been an issue that I would say one of his shortcomings by far, like with the goalies available, he could have found something better, you know, yeah. At least in my opinion.
No, speaking of one of Dubas's trades, was Kadri for Kerfoot and Barry. Oh. I mean, I've been benefited greatly because, you know, as an Avs fan, mm-hmm. when I saw the news about Kadri, my first thought was, oh, shit, this guy, you know, the guy that's always getting suspended during playoffs and, you know, he's kind of a little rat. I was not excited. And, you know, Barry was kind of a fan favorite in Denver. So I knew we had to get mm-hmm. rid of him because we had Kale McCarr. So you got to take your lumps, right? Mm-hmm. But Kadri, that first year, got suspended in the playoffs with Denver. Or maybe it was his second year. But it was just like, oh, son of a bitch. But then that year we won the Stanley Cup, he was a huge – he had a monster season. I think he had like 90 points. Something like that. And then in the playoffs, he was a monster. I think just notably the hat trick against St. Louis, and then breaking his thumb and then coming back. You know, it was just awesome. Sorry,
I mean, the Avalanche playoff run was amazing. And I like the entire Stanley Cup Stanley Cup finals that year. Like, I watched everyone excitedly. And seeing Kadri win was awesome. And I feel like that was definitely a bad oversight on Dubas because, like, Kadri's – I mean, he's had an off season in Calgary, but, like, when he gets back to where he was production-wise, he's really good. He's always going to be a first- or second-line player, so.
Always. And he's just – when he's on the ice – I don't know. You just know something's going to happen from him. That's why he was so excited to watch. It was a bummer about, you know, Calgary. I think they've been having some drama. I know their head coach got fired. So we'll see if, you know, they have a big change, you know, he had an off season as well. So we'll see. You know, I always... you know, hope for the best for them, I guess.
Well, they made a lot of huge trades, and then Sutter just, I feel like, tanked everything. He went against the Jack Adams winning season that, I don't know, he did like a 180 this season. I don't know what happened, but he lost the room for sure.
Yeah. So let me just ask about another player. So the trades deadline for you guys nagged Ryan O'Reilly. Were you excited for mm-hmm. that pickup?
I wasn't sure how to approach it because, like, I knew Ryan O'Reilly was part of the 2019 Blues team. And I knew he was injured earlier in the season and I felt like he wasn't going to be like prime Ryan O'Reilly. And then mm-hmm. like the first few games in, he started producing right away. And excuse me, like I was kind of surprised, like, how quick he rebounded once he got into Toronto. So I felt like that trade, the O'Reilly trade with Achari, is just, like, one of the best trades this season. But I don't know what happened in the postseason where he kind of just took a dive.
Well, no, you mentioned, you know, as soon as he got into Toronto, like, he hit the ground running. He was getting some points. And then he broke his thumb. But then he was in time for playoffs. And I don't know.
It seems like bad luck all around.
Well, so. do you think he's going to stay? Because I think he's from the area. So I think he, like, grew up cheering for Toronto. He probably wants to stay, but he can get money anywhere he goes.
Yeah, I mean, like, the fact that another team is retaining part of his salary and Dubas has set us up for a bad cap situation, he could pretty much go where he wants, but I don't know. I think he'd have to take a discount to stay, and I don't know if Shanahan's going to be able to do that.
Yeah. Let's see.
Well, it'd be nice if he stayed.
I hope he stays for you guys. And I forgot to mention this, you know, the Toronto Marlies, they fired their entire coaching staff. So I was kind of shocked to see that. So that's why I was wondering. I'm like, is Keefe next?
That is concerning because I didn't hear that.
Yeah, that's a bit shocking. It's like, all right. what are your thoughts on Steve Dangle? Because he's a huge Leafs fan. Do you ever watch his show or any of that?
Yeah, I watch his stuff regularly. And I mean, that season where the Leafs lost to David Ayers, like, I watched that video and he's got his own personality, which, you know, is his own thing. He's entertaining. I'm not sure if I agree with his analysis a lot of the times, but, like, for the entertainment factor, he's good. And I follow him on Twitter, much to the dismay of some of my former coworkers who are big Leafs fans, probably bigger than me, who live in Ontario. So,
yeah. do you have any good Maple Leafs podcasts to recommend?
No, I unfortunately don't.
Are they, like, too intense or too many to choose?
Well, the thing is, like, my writing, I write for a website that covers multiple hockey teams. And that takes up most of my, like, free time during the night. So by the time I get done writing, I'm kind of just like, okay, I'm going to watch something. So, like, a movie or maybe catch a hockey game if I can finish on time. So, like, I caught a little bit of the Panthers and Canes game this weekend. So that was cool.
Yeah, I usually, now that my team got bumped out, I mean, I knew the Avs weren't going to go far. We were injured. We limped. I don't even know how we clinched the division. We were shocked. But Seattle was just a deeper team.
It was amazing. Like, Bednar took them pretty far for what they were, and that's impressive. So,
yeah, Mac had a pretty good playoffs, but it was all about Rantanen. And Mikko Rantanen carried the team the whole season. For me, I always have to watch highlights because I'm in Europe. It's 3 in the morning right now. You know, really? So, like, yeah. What time is it? Oh, it's 2:30. Yeah, so that's how I just, if I wake up and if the game's on, then I'll listen on the radio or on the app. But usually I just, like, I'll catch the highlights or just read the play-by-plays or what happened.
Do you get to watch the games often where you are, or they don't broadcast them there?
Oh, no, they don't. No. They care about soccer, football and cycling. Those are the bread and butter here.
Oh, wow.
I once saw a guy wearing a Rangers hat in my neighborhood, and I almost like chased him down, like, "Hey, let's talk hockey," but I didn't want to scare him. They were probably just wearing it to wear it.
Well, hopefully there's more hockey fans around our area soon.
Yeah, you know, there are some hockey clubs here, and I've checked them out, but it's just not as rabid as, you know, like where I grew up in, you know, near Minnesota, North Dakota, or, you know.
I can imagine, you know, being the state of hockey, so there must be just, like, fans everywhere.
What I do miss about growing up where it's really cold is the outdoor rinks. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to just be able to get your skates on and go outside. But then it's also, you know, minus 10 outside, so your toes fall off. Let me see. I got all my notes, like, and they're all, like, out of order. So I think we talked about... Who are they going to replace as a GM?
You know, that's a good question. I heard Tree Living. So I don't know. Like, Tree Living's in the running, and then I think Pridham. But I don't think there's too many good GM prospects available, considering that the Flames just took Craig Conroy. Maybe there's Eric Tulsky. I don't know. It just depends. Like, I don't know where Brendan Shanahan's head is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, 56 years of losing, everyone just, it just blows up every year. You know, it just sucks that you got the best season in 20 years. And I don't know. I think as a Leafs fan, you got to be frustrated, obviously.
It's frustrating, but I mean, like, there's pain and then there's pain of prior to being a Leafs fan. So I don't know. I sometimes wonder why I continue to choose suffering, but I don't know. Maybe it's a character trait.
Well, here's my most suffering questions for a Leafs fan, and the name of the show, why should your team win?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, why should Toronto win the Cup?
Well, I would say they have some of the best bottom six in the league. Of course, Matthews, Marner, Nylander. But I feel like that hypothesis might be wrong. So I don't know. It's hard to say with absolute, you know, faith that, you know, they deserve to win. They do deserve to win because, you know, I love the team. But at this point, maybe not blowing it all up, but retooling might not be a bad idea. Mm-hmm. And if they do bring the core four back, they need to, like, figure out how to accommodate them to put on a better product on ice. So.
Well, yeah, and I think Toronto would explode. If you guys got the Cup, the hockey world would explode.
I was thinking it was going to happen this season, and I want to say the goaltending was really good this year, but I feel like if it was Joseph Woll and Ilya Samsonov this season, it probably wouldn't have been a better season by far. Even though it wasn't a bad season, could have been better, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Do you have any, so the draft is June 28th this year, I believe, in Nashville. I'm going to be doing a live episode, I think, for it.
Nice.
But do you guys have any high picks or anything you're looking forward to for the draft?
That's the thing. I feel like, let's see. Give me just a second.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry, I keep looking over here. My cat is scratching the couch. So I'm like, stop it, stop it.
Sounds like a normal cat. She really rambunctious right about now.
I know. He's usually sleeping. So he's like, get out of my room.
Let's see. I feel like, yeah, the 2023 draft picks were really light on. There's only two picks we have this season, and they're in the fifth and sixth round. So Kyle Dubas made sure to clean that out for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the Marlies should be good if that's the case. Hopefully, I mean, I know we got Pontus Holmberg, who's a good prospect, and Wool is definitely a good prospect as far as goaltending goes. He did really well. So, if anything, you know, like the next GM, hopefully, he can get some of those back.
Yeah. Well, I hope it's a good summer for Toronto. I would like to see your guys' four core, but I also would love to see Nylander with the Avalanche. So we'll see.
I think he'd be a rocket there too myself. So.
Well, yeah, I think he would pull a Kadri and fit really well over there. And, you know, we don't have Landeskog next season at all, which is like already depressing. And the season hasn't even started. It's like a piece of my heart. You know, and I'm just like, it's just really sad to not have him there. But yeah, he could definitely fill that spot for sure. I think, yeah, Josh, that's all I got.
Okay.
I want to thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast, so.
Well, thank you for taking a chance on a stranger messaging you.
You're welcome. And, you know, I'm definitely going to let everyone know, hey, check this out. So,
yeah, well, good luck next season. And I'll talk to you later.
I'll talk to you then, Katie. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.